The lullaby.
Mm-hmm. All right, just testing some things out. You know what I mean?
Eat your meat. Go to sleep.
Get off the phone. What are you doing over there? Hmm? I'm waiting on something to come from your mouth.
Whoa.
Oh, snap.
I'm waiting for the
Holy
show to
shit.
Start.
It started. He said, I'm waiting for something to come. No, I ain't going to say
Snap.
It. He said it. Uh-huh.
And I stand behind mine.
Who was on crack?
I know a few people. I know a few people. Ask
Who
me.
Who was
That's
on
crazy.
Crack?
Oh, man. All right, man. That's it. You done flirting with whoever on your DMs?
Oh,
we got a show to go. Show
I'm
to run.
For
oh, you ready? Okay. All right.
The first one here.
All right. She's the first one here. You know, fuck it. Since we're recording, we already live. Let me go ahead and start off with the mixtape song of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go ahead. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Yeah. Mm. Beer to the West Coast, nigga. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Ready, pull up in some 84 shit. Roll this flow, I smoking no dope, so call me the dopest. Crush these niggas' feelings and come right back in some motion. Different color diamonds, I'm about to stun on my old bitches. Slide out, black max and Cadillacs when we ride out. Bet these bitches gon' stay attached when I slide out. We relax and take them back to my hideout. Big stacks, give me the racks when I ride out. Black max and Cadillacs when we ride out. Bet these bitches gon' stay attached when I slide out. We relax and take them back to my hideout. Big stacks, give me the racks when I ride out. Scary Indian. And a bitch I'm putting on. Get my weed out on the west, cause that's my second home. Before you try to check a nigga, check out who you checking on. Robbing on my resume, bitch, I'm invading home. Niggas call me Freddy 4G Auto, I'm on low chrome. Can't be sleeping on these streets, bitches, no dope. Shout out to the game, bakers, gang, slinging, slipping notes. Pyrus, Hoovers, 8 trays, and 6 souls. Ride out.
These
bitches got them undressing in my hideout. Bet she wishing I got her pregnant once I slide out. All my bitches is perfect kids, nigga, die down. Keep it going until her baby daddy find out. Keep it whipping, I'm never stressing. Shout out to G Malone, they rockin' 2B7. The people say my partners is still
the best. Dope dealers,
case to give, just a neighborhood thug. Nigga, ride out. Black Maxi, Cadillacs, when we ride out. Bet these bitches gon' stay attached when I slide out. We relax and take them back to my hideout. Big stacks, give me the racks when I ride out.
West
trays, let me find her.
Yes,
Red for me, great goose, too wide. She tell me she wanna see me, but I'm tired. Shit, I got a personal driver, put your rider. Yeah, nigga shooting them dice, put your fiver. Say, what we doing tonight, make your mind up. Like, I got this little crystal to get you out of them draws. I'ma keep it raw. After I do it, I probably never call on some rap shit. Yeah, I used to work at the mall on some black shit. Selling these hoes clothes, I'm a back bitch. Can't you tell
you
them my flow's no rings on? Chanel platinum all in the nose, that's
Where
my theme song. And you can't play the homies cause the team's strong. Girl, we can't do nothing with the jeans on. So let them legs slide out.
Black Mexican Cadillacs, we'll be ride out. Bitches, bitches gon' stay attached when I slide out. We relax and take them back to my hideout. Big stacks, give me the racks when I ride out.
Just remember, you can only hear the mixtape track of the week exclusively on the audio. You won't hear it in the video because we ain't trying to get pulled.
Say that. We need all the money we got.
Shit. It's hard out here. All right, Easy, go ahead and start the show.
SoundCloud Music. I'm
We back.
Back. West Connect.
Hey, Swizzy, you know what it is. It's showtime. You damn right. Mm. All right, and welcome back to the place where nothing is safe. This is episode 174 of the Jig Is Up podcast. And you know me, I'm your host, yours, Marco, and I'm with...
It's your guy, M-Easy.
It's your girl, Miss Nessa, a.k.a. Blazer Mommy.
Well, Kmart is not here with us right now because, you know...
Technically.
Because, you know, I'm not saying it like as like he's gone from us. He's here, but he's not present here in the moment to kick it with us. However, I do have a special guest, my own cousin. Mm. You know, people look at me and call me extra light skin like I ain't got no dark skin cousins out here. You ain't gonna disrespect me like that.
I'm not gonna front. I automatically thought your cousin would be light skin. The man's darker than me, so. I'm not that dark either.
There was two guys walking up, and Marco goes like, "Oh, there you go, right there." And there was a light skinned guy in front of him. I was like, "Oh, that go him." That's him. He's like, "No, the one behind him."
Yes, I can be Nigerian if you want me to be.
Right.
Man, I got my cousin, man, Anthony Vaughn in the building. How you doing, family?
All is well. I'm here in San Diego on the Jig Is Up, feeling nothing but love in the building. So. I'm just excited to be here with the cuz, with the fam.
All right.
As good as it gets.
Okay. And, you know, just give them a little bit about yourself, man. Tell them where you from, and then we'll just go in. We'll just, open up a little bit of conversation.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah. You know, judging from the song, I'm pretty sure you guys can have an idea where you're from.
Got a little idea where I'm from. I mean, I was raised in Gary, Indiana, but I was born in Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah.
I stayed there for 3 years. Uh-huh. And then I moved to Gary, Indiana. And Gary, Indiana, like, it's stupid bananas out there.
Yeah, trust me. Shout out to Walter Ford. He's from Gary, Indiana, too. We had him on the show.
Shout out to Freddie Gibbs, too.
Yep.
All the fam is still out there in Gary, Indiana, man. So I don't even know where to even start. So I moved to Gary at 3 years of age. Like, my mom's. So...
You don't have to give all the whole book away. And then you could talk directly into the mic. The mic ain't going to hurt you.
Pause.
Let me take a deep breath.
We're kind of progressive here.
Like you about to get
fast forward.
It's about to get extra real in here. I just want everybody to notice.
Okay. All right. Speak your truth.
So for me, like, I'm the oldest of 11 brothers and sisters.
11?
11 of them things.
Brady bunch. Mm.
Yeah. Like... We had a starting five and a backup five. You know what I mean?
Actually, you got a whole offensive team right there. You meet up another family, you get a whole, like,
we could have started our
football
own
gang going.
We could have started our own gang for sure.
That's a clan right there.
And they wouldn't have been fucking with us neither. It was bananas. It was bananas out there. But I didn't even meet, like, three of my siblings until I was 22 years of age. That's exactly when I met my father, as a matter of fact. My mom's, she lost her mom's, you know, when she was 14 years old. Mm. So, yeah, it kind of hit her hard. Then her brother, who she was staying with, you know, had gone off to the military. Did 22 years. Shout out Uncle Lou.
It's funny because he's talking about, like, my family. So I'm sitting here just like, all right.
Uh-huh. I was like, Uncle Luke?
Uncle Lou.
No, not exactly.
Shake that ass.
It ain't Luther Campbell. It's not Luther Campbell. No, shout out to the legend, though.
100%. We're talking about another legend, my uncle.
Right.
Yeah.
And my mom's, so she had to, like, raise herself. So she ended up meeting my stepfather. And my stepfather was the man, you know. He was out there dealing, doing whatever he needed to do. I think Marco V pushed a button that said something about crack. So I know a lot about that.
Yeah, Marco V is like my old alias I have when I used to promote.
Okay.
So if he uses the throwback alias, I'm just giving people.
Hey, man, I still call you that.
You're still in my contacts as Marco V.
For the rest, hey. I think you know him as Marco V.
Probably.
Yes, you still Marco V in my contacts.
He's still respected as Marco V.
I guess so. Fuck it.
And he got back up.
It's catchy, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yo, it's Marco V.
Yeah.
In the place to be.
So
yeah.
It was a struggle growing up, you know. I had to raise my brothers and sisters, actually, you know. I was making bottles, you know, changing diapers,
getting shit all on my fingers. Yeah, it was fun. It was excellent.
Sounds like love.
It was so awesome.
You didn't look at it and just like, ooh.
It was a little chunky every now and again. I could get it mixed up with some Nestle Crunch, but
a little chunky.
Yeah, a little chunky. Like, oh yeah, you been eating some corn, huh?
It was baby boo boo. Yep. Anyhow, I changed a few diapers in my day. Yeah. And I got the war wounds to prove it, that's for sure.
The war wounds to prove it.
Yeah.
What are the war wounds?
The war wounds is that I had a lot of resentment towards like family members and things like that. Those are the war wounds that I had. I held on to those deep inside myself, like deep inside myself. So in this book that I wrote called Balancing Dark with Light, A Journey from Ghetto to God, in this book it just talks about how I had to deal with all of these different resentments and angers and frustrations for many years. Like, I held on to everything, and I never really spoke. I never really spoke to anybody about the issues that I had in my life. But these issues that I had in my life was always apparent, no matter how much I tried to hide them. You know what I mean? So I left home when I was 19 years old because during those earlier years, like, my parents, like, they were really on drugs. Like, when you talk about the hood, like, I'm from, like, the real hood. Like, I saw my first dead body at, like, 3 years, no, in the third grade, as a matter of fact. I was just walking outside to go to school in the third grade, and I saw somebody just laid out inside the little white chalk. You know, I had family members who, you know, got murdered over drugs, you know what I mean? Marco know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But that right there, like, hit home. We was 10, 12 years old or something like that. We was young. But at 19 years old, I had to dip out. I ain't know where I was going, but I knew I was getting the hell away from there. That's for damn sure. So I ended up in Florida. Where I was a bouncer. I was a bouncer at a club at 22 years old. So yeah, it was party for me every single night. I was trying to run as far away from my problems as I could. I mean, and one of the things in the book is a conversation, or more than a conversation, inside this club that I was at.
With Uncle Luke.
Yeah. Uncle was there that night.
Uncle Luke was there. He's in Florida now.
Uncle Luke was there that night, for sure. And his name was Anthony. We had a couple Russian chicks who was just there, just enjoying themselves. It was White Sand, Clear Blue Water. I just, you know, called her upstairs, you know, come and have a conversation with me. And I'm just going to leave the rest to your imagination and hope that y'all go get this book. It's on Amazon, as a matter of fact.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Yeah, you can go just put in that name, Balancing Dark with Light. And the reason why it's called Balancing Dark with Light is because there was a point where, like, I lost everything. So after living in Florida, I ended up moving to Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas, I was an EMT on an ambulance. So I'm taking care of patients, driving an ambulance. And for the record, I never had an accident.
So hold on. So you went from?
I did no harm.
A bouncer EMT.
To being an EMT.
You were hurting people.
It was a career change.
To helping people in Texas.
So from throwing people out to rolling people in.
Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
From dark to light. Got it.
Yeah, it was balancing dark with light.
Yeah, I see what you're doing right there.
I had to make sure that I took all of the negativity that I had, and I had to find a way to balance that with some type of light. So as I was an EMT and on an ambulance, like, there was still some dark inside me too, because one of my coworkers, I mean, whenever we had some downtime, we would go and do some downtime type stuff.
Okay, what did that entail?
Hey,
man, everybody can get it, even my cousin. So what does it entail?
Talk about it. It does entail me with the it does entail me with this beautiful young Caucasian woman.
Oh, shit, you messing with the white girls out in the South.
The white.
At that time, my saying was, I don't discriminate.
Caucus.
I penetrate.
Okay, you don't discriminate, you penetrate.
At that time. But now.
Dark to light.
That's
another, yeah, exactly. That's another dark to light right there.
Hey, we're going to keep it all the way real here.
Okay, yeah,
all
the way real. Let's go.
All the details is in the book, so go ahead and get that.
I like this, man.
Go ahead and get that.
Like, I'm not going to give it all the way.
I'm not going to give it all away, but you're going to know a little something.
A little something. Okay.
A little something.
EMT.
EMT, just enough. EMT For 4 years, I was. I loved it. Like, on a real note, like, I took care of a lot of geriatric patients and a lot of pediatric patients. So I still have a photo of this kid who was a cancer patient who just had so much light about him. You know, his parents and his grandma was, like, in tears and, like, sad, but he was, like, smiling. So I had him in the back of the ambulance. We taking him to the Children's Cancer Place hospital. And I just, like, did whatever I could to make sure that that light was going to stay on for him. So I, like, you know, blew up one of the gloves and drew a face on it and things like that. Let me get to my sentimental side right now. And I made sure that, you know, this kid, you know, who didn't know if he was going to live another year or so, you know, had a moment where, you know, just some type of light can be shown through him to translate to his family. Like, his mom in the back who was crying was very happy, and she invited me over for dinner and everything to make sure that she could show her appreciation for how her son had improved, because she had sent me a letter. She sent the letter to the EMT place where I was working at. If y'all see the EMT around here in San Diego, the most prevalent one that y'all see, that's the organization that I work for. Mm.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, your journey to writing this book, mm-hmm. how did that all begin?
That began by losing everything. I lost everything, you know. I lost my car. I lost my apartment. Like, I was making the most money I had ever made in my life. It wasn't $100,000, but I came from food stamps. I mean, like,
so like
the food stamps that was in the actual booklet.
So what inspired you to start, like, jotting down and journaling?
I'm going to speed it up. I feel you. Yeah, I'm going to speed it up. Sorry about that. But outside of that, though, I lost everything. I lost everything on the ambulance. I lost everything. My girlfriend, you know, respect, blah, 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 blah. So I started searching, like, what is life about? Like, what is the meaning of life? Like, I've literally taken care of brothers and sisters. I've literally helped people as an EMT. And I also work for a children's charity. So me losing everything was like, what the fuck is going on? So at that moment, I started searching and reading, like, different self-help books, spiritual books, esoteric books, so on and so forth, just to figure out, like, what the meaning of life was. Like, I read all type of religious books and everything. So I already had that in my background, and I was always writing. But it came a moment, like, I was living in Los Angeles. Like, I had went away for, like, 5 years, and I was, like, a monk. Like, I was at a meditation center, like, guiding people through meditation, like, giving seminars on meditation and so on and so forth.
You still do that?
I finished that. Like, as a matter of fact, like, I finished that about a month, maybe a month and a half ago. And then I started working at a Chinese restaurant in Beverly Hills where I met, like, different people. I met different, like, producers from, what's the name of the movie again, Mark?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned it in the outside conversation. You mentioned the producer of The Green Book.
Yeah, The Green Book.
With Mahershala Ali. Mm.
Yeah, I met that producer, and I got his information. And I had done a couple of stand-up comedy bids before. So,
what the hell?
Right.
So let's circle back. So you were a bouncer, EMT. You were a monk. You
worked at a Chinese spot.
You worked with children. Yeah. And
Ni hao ma.
And you worked at a Chinese spot. Did you learn how to speak Chinese?
And stand-up comedy.
I did not, but I did spend time in Korea, which is also in the book, for 4 months. And Hangul Chokung.
Oh, okay. Annyeonghaseyo.
Annyeonghaseyo.
Do you listen to K-pop?
I do not listen to K-pop. No.
You know, you did. I bet you did a lot of karaoke with your Asian friends.
I did a whole bunch of karaoke with my Asian friends. Yeah,
of course. Do some Asians,
Japanese, Chinese, but never Korean.
You couldn't crack the Koreans yet, huh?
I was living amongst them, and you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to get high on your own supply. I just put it that way.
Whoa. You were dealing Koreans?
I was, in a sense.
Hello? You're not snitching on yourself on human trafficking, right?
Definitely not.
I'm just fucking with you, man.
Selling Koreans to those who out there
this man
confused right now whether I was a pimp or not. That is not one of the things that I was.
I'm in the statutes of limitations. But you're black, though, so you never. There's no
can't
such thing
caught
as
up if it's free will.
She volunteered.
She wanted to do this for me.
We just let it be. I told y'all I was a meditation instructor. We just letting it be.
Now go keep my scratch.
Oh my God.
Bitch, so, I ain't telling you to be here, but you could leave.
After the.
At any time.
That's hilarious. Yeah, you got freedom. Free your mind.
Hit him with that R. Kelly.
I'm not hitting him with the R. Kelly. I'm not hitting him with
She's
the
free
R.
to leave anytime. I never hold women that can stay on will.
Marco be trying to drop people in.
I love all women.
All right, so I went from a monk, and I came from a monk. You was asking a question before we got into this side conversation.
Oh, just go a tangent so it could be digestible for the audience.
We
to,
good.
To circumvent.
We
you know
good.
What I'm saying?
I'm just trying to see if you wanted to finish the question that you had.
You're asking about jotting down, like how.
Did you like jot down certain things? Like, what got you in the process? Like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna write this out. I'm gonna write a book about my life.
So after like doing a stand-up comedy and after meeting like this like real estate agent who invited me to his $14 million house to have this, to be part of this party that he had with. Yeah, it was amazing. It was half naked people everywhere.
Was his name Ed Buck?
He had a whole bunch of bucks. That's for damn sure.
Okay, just making sure it ain't Ed Buck.
And I made sure that
man alone.
They got the manuscript. They got the manuscript before, so party. You know, I could have people like that. It wasn't a secret party.
It was no Eyes Wide Shut. None of that.
I don't even know what that means.
You haven't watched it.
Good answer.
I don't even know what that means. I went there though, and it was amazing. It was amazing. And then you know, I was just. Like, I got to do something. Like, I got to do something. Like, I got to do something big. And then I just got an inspiration to write a book. Like, and then within 3 weeks, I was just sitting my ass down wherever I could. Griffith Park or the library or any other place. And I was just writing nonstop. Like, literally hours at a time. Like, it was just, like, flowing through me. And within 3 weeks, it was done. Now, the first
three weeks
is the time that it took me to write this book. The first copy was way more raw than the second one was. It was crack cocaine not being cut with anything else. But the second one was
purest form, huh?
100%. 100%.
This guy had blue magic in his book.
100%. But we didn't want to kill nobody. Blue magic kill people. Mm-hmm. Like, we just want to make them feel something. And I made sure I had them feel something. And they feel something that's a little bit more refined. So that's how I ended up writing a book. That's how I went from, you know, not even having an idea, am I going to write a book, to actually writing a book.
So let's take people on a journey.
Let's do it.
You went from Gary to Florida.
Florida.
out of all the places that you like, just give people a sample size of each places that you've been to, as far as Florida. Texas. Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a little time in San Diego. Now that you're the majority of your time, you're in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So out of those different places, coming from Gary, Indiana, like what are your experiences and what are your thoughts of all of these different places?
So coming from Gary, Indiana, like it's not much there, you know, like the houses and everything is dilapidated. You know, the streets got potholes in them and everything. So
facts.
It was a struggle, 100%. And my whole ordeal for even wanting to leave there was to hopefully come back and, like, build it up eventually. But leaving from there to Florida at 19 years of age, like, I didn't know what to expect. Because when I first initially moved to Florida, like, I went with a traveling organization that sold magazines door-to-door in Orlando, Florida, which is really interesting. And that's also in the book for those who want to know. So I was going door to door in Orlando, and I liked the weather, right? The weather was on point. And then I moved to the northwest part of Florida. It was white sand, clear blue water. It was a beautiful, beautiful sight. So coming from what I went from, the visual was just awe-inspiring. Like, I was...
Definitely different. From dilapidated houses to white sands, clear waters. So, like...
It was absolutely amazing.
So did it show you, like, there's more to life than...
It definitely showed me that it was more to life than what was there in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
It was a military town, too. And I moved there with my military uncle. So just imagine going from chaos to that amount of
strict
discipline.
Strict organized.
We clash heads, to say the least.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And Uncle Lewis, usually, he usually wins. So, you know, that lets you know that I was a loser more times than not. But I ended up though in Florida, like just trying to find myself. You know, I didn't know exactly what to expect there. But you know, I did the bouncer thing. I worked at Kmart. I ended up having a girlfriend who was a little bit older than I was, and she had a daughter. And I was just so naive. I went to firefighting school, as a matter of fact, and I did that for 6 months. I passed, and then I met this older woman, and then I lost my apartment, moved in with her, all those sorts of things. So not only was the visual good, but in my mind, though, my mind state wasn't all that good. That's the thing. My mind state wasn't that good, so it drew like negativity towards me.
You never gave yourself to really, you know, to know yourself.
Yeah.
It seemed like all this happened in a very fast succession, especially being with an older woman with a child.
Right.
Knowing that you had to help and take care of your younger siblings.
Right.
And basically be the de facto parent when you're...
It was like a repeating pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was
like you was on the hamster on the wheel.
Exactly.
Like, and it didn't matter where you went. It doesn't matter if you were in Gary or if you were in Florida or if you were in Houston.
Right.
If your psyche and your habits are going to remain the same, it doesn't matter what you change.
100%.
So that's, you know...
I felt that firsthand with that. Like, I'm around clear blue water and white sand, but, you know, in my mind, like, I'm still, like, struggling. But I was able to feel some type of victory when I got my firefighter certificate. You know, that was, like, my first step. And then I found out, like, this girl, this woman, was acting like she was pregnant with my kid. Like,
oh, shit.
No, she didn't have my kid. Like... Can you imagine, like, how frustrated you can go waiting 9 months for somebody to see if they have a...
That happened to Kmart. That happened to Kmart. That happened to Kmart a long time ago. Yeah. So you guys could talk over that.
Could have happened to me, but the woman that was in that... I was in that situation, but it wasn't trying to... She was like, if we not going to be together, then
I'm going to kill the little bastard.
Wow. Ain't that some shit? Ain't that some shit? So I waited like 9 months. And then after those 9 months, like, you know, I realized I went up to her doctor. Her doctor obviously couldn't tell me if she was pregnant. I couldn't tell me anything about it. But I went up there.
By yourself?
By myself. Without her, like something is not right, doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? Like, I'm sorry, young sir. I can't let you know exactly what's going on there. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, sir. I'm out of here. So eventually I ended up moving out with her, staying with a coworker, and then moving to Houston, Texas.
Okay, so
this was in Florida.
This was in Florida.
Okay. Yeah.
So you moved with to Houston.
One more time.
You guys cohabitated in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Wait. No, no,
no, no. You left. Okay, I'm just trying to understand.
Okay.
So you left.
You left her in Florida. Her
in Florida, and you moved to Houston.
She wasn't coming with me after that. What you mean?
So did you have a peace of mind when you went? When you had a peace of mind when you went to Houston?
My mind was still like.
That's the
not
thing.
In a good
like,
place.
Like,
you know
like
what I mean?
No matter how far you travel,
my mind still wasn't in a good place.
It was all up. Yeah. It's a state of mind.
It's
That's
all the
crazy.
Mind. 100%. 100%. Everything is all the mind at the end of the day. Like, everything literally is all the mind. Like, and it's going to bring you whatever you need, or whatever you don't need for that matter. Your situation that you're in right now is always going to show you, like, where your mind at.
Yeah, that energy you carry around, it tends to follow.
Yep.
100%. And
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, people that look for that negative energy gravitates towards you. So
yeah, and the crazy thing is, like, the negative energy is still inside of me, no matter how much I deal with it or don't deal with it. You know what I mean? So the universe gonna do what the universe gonna do, and it's gonna make sure that it's fair and just and everything that it does. You know what I mean?
This lady over here is a big fan of the universe and laws of attraction.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
fuck the internet.
Okay.
It's acceptable.
Look.
Keep playing with
universe. Don't mind.
Okay.
Universe don't mind.
Universe gonna eat you up, nigga.
Yeah. Keep playing. Keep fucking with the universe. Universe gonna fuck with you.
Yeah.
So in Houston. So let's take us through a journey down there in Houston.
Houston,
and
man.
You gotta slow it down because you know it's Houston. You know, you gotta serve sip.
Give us a chopped and screwed version.
Yeah, you gotta give us the screwed version of the story, right?
Each time we go down,
so what happened? What was
so
it chopped and screwed?
So my time in H time was like it was what I did like 4 years. You know what I mean? And like it was Jiggy, man. It was Jiggy, man.
Yeah, shout out to Jiggy.
Nah, but my uncle was there, so I went there. You know, I ain't had no job at the time, so he was like, "Hey, get your ass up, go find a job, man." Yeah, you can't be 26 years old, you know, laying on your uncle's couch or whatever. So,
oh yeah, he ain't having that.
He ain't having that. Right.
He ain't taking care of no grown ass man.
Not
in
no
his
grown
house.
Ass man. I don't care if you know your girlfriend had a baby, didn't have a baby. I don't care if you know. I don't care if you was eating out of a garbage can. You about to get your ass up off my couch.
Right.
So, I got up off the couch and I went and looked for a job or whatever. But I don't know. In Houston, like, everything was like slowed up. It was so easy. It was so easy to, you know, come across women that, you know,
women. The women in Houston. Yes. Just talk about the women in Houston.
I mean,
for people who never touched down in H-Town before.
Hey, yeah, they eat well. They eat real well.
Eat a lot of grits.
Yeah, red beans and rice. Bread. All that, you know what I'm talking about?
They eat their greens.
They eat a whole bunch of that, you know, neck bones. Yeah, but it was a situation where, like, because I was an EMT, like, it came to me easy. So all I had to do there was just
they
go and have
uniform.
A conversation. Uh-huh. That uniform
it was
do
like,
something
save
to
me.
Them. Uh-huh.
I need mouth to mouth.
That uniform had them getting in line. Yeah. And
see, he's smiling. Houston must got the ladies out there because he is smiling from ear to ear. If you guys can't see it, like, the man is like having some flashbacks. So you need a story time.
It's okay. All right. So let me give you one of them stories since he just put me on the spot.
An H-Town story.
Uh huh.
All right.
So I'm at a bar. It was called Scott Gertner's at the time. Like, it was big. And, you know, everybody's in there enjoying themselves, sipping and everything. So I'm walking outside, and I see this girl on the phone. And I just go up to her, and I whisper in her ear, like, you know.
Okay, I can save you.
Why don't you hang up the phone? You know, I want to talk to you right now.
Yo, what? This nigga's using his R&B voice right here.
Yeah. I mean, that's
tell him you'll call him back. No,
yeah, tell him you'll
call
really him back.
He was really trying to knock some boots.
I mean, H-Town. And boots got stupid. Knocked. That's for sure. But she ended up taking me back to her spot, though. She had a pool and everything, yeah? And, yeah, I went swimming. And not only
swimming in the pool, huh?
Just not in the pool.
Yeah, I didn't drown either. You know, I stayed afloat.
He was floating.
Uh-huh.
Stroking.
Uh-huh.
Backstroke.
Yeah,
butterfly.
Uh-huh, 100 meter.
Michael Phelps in this bitch.
Uh-huh, you couldn't slow me down.
All right.
All right, let's move on to the next thing.
Oh, that was it?
that's all I'm giving on
so
that.
So how did you
right
get
there.
To be an EMT?
How did I get to be an EMT? Yeah. How did that happen?
Such a random... Yeah. Type of job.
Yeah, it's super random. It's super random. How did I do that?
I don't know. Me be asking you.
Yeah, stuff just happened in my life, man. I don't be knowing how it be happening, y'all. So I went to school for.
Is it in the book?
It's in the book. Get the book.
It's in the
read
book.
Read the book. And you'll know because of the book.
Nah. Explain it in the book. It's explained in the book, people.
But I went to school, though. I went to school for 3 months. And, you know, I took it serious. A crazy story that's in the book about that is a story that my professor told us. He said he was an EMT for many years. And, you know, because it's so terrible of a story, like, I got to make sure I make y'all feel this terrible feeling that I felt.
Oh, damn. All right. I feel terrible when I leave this episode. All right.
Nah, it's going to be terrible. It's
brace
gonna be
yourself,
terrible in a
audience.
Good way. It's going to be terrible in a good way. So
balance the dark with the light. All
yeah,
right.
So I'm just letting y'all know the dark part. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Yeah. So he told us a story about he went on a call and, you know, he came to this man's house and the man would just kept saying, like, you know, it burns. Like, get it out of me. It burns. Get it out of me. It burns. I'm like, where's this story going, Professor? Where's this story going?
Right.
So he goes up to the person.
Exorcist type shit.
Right. But it was similar to that in that he had something inside of him, a gerbil for that matter, because this person, for whatever reason, wanted to make sure that he had some sexual fetish where you suffocate the gerbil inside of your a-hole until it start to die and jerk and vibrate inside of his. But the thing didn't die, though. That was the thing. Like, it was still his way moving out
through the intestinal walls.
Exactly. Yeah.
He wants survival to live.
Kicked in.
Right. He's trying to get out of there. It's too dark in here. Like, let me to the light. That's what the gerbil was trying.
Yo, that
to
is a crazy story.
That's
about
a banana story.
He's trying to see the light.
He's trying to see the light.
So, and that's animal abuse. Like, come on, man. That's disgusting.
How you gonna do that to a gerbil? What the gerbil do to you? Yeah.
The gerbil was in his asshole.
That was that what you said. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was trying to get out.
Yep.
That never happened to me while I was not out the asshole.
In the asshole and through everything else.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that moment with me, guys. I appreciate that.
Oh, okay. I mean, that gerbil went through a lot of shit.
And, literally.
Yeah.
So I was an EMT for 4 years. And, you know, I loved it. I loved helping people. Like, I'm always a fan of helping people. Like, I even went to a birthday party of one of the older women who I used to take care of and things like that. I loved it. I love being an EMT. Yeah.
All right. So, so what made you leave Houston? Like, what was it when you felt like you wore your welcome out in Houston, or you felt that it was time to move on to other things?
It's so,
because I heard
we're talking about the mind, right?
I mean, however you want to talk, it's your story.
Yeah. We talked about the mind and, you know, everything from my childhood up until that moment. Like, because being an EMT, you're dealing with other people's situations, you know, and you got to be calm in those situations. And you got people who curse you out sometime and things like that. Family members who want you to take or move fast or do this differently and things like that. And then you're dealing with people.
Shut up.
Exactly.
See, I'm trying to work.
Exactly. You keep talking to me. You're going to be on this stretcher too.
Oh, that's gangster right there.
Gotta keep it, Gary. So I lost my train of thought, man.
You said EMT. Well, I was asking, you said something about the mind.
Yeah.
You said, and I was asking you about your transition from Houston to the West Coast, because that was the next stop, right?
So I ended up, you know, losing that job as an EMT. I didn't even lose it, like, I quit, because in my mind, like, everything just came flooding in, like emotions, like thoughts, like feelings, like everything just came flooding to my mind, and it was really hard for me to like function, go to work and take care of what I need to take care of. So I went and I did my best to do my job, and I still did it well and still held on to everything. And I tried to go see like a therapist, and I went one time and like it didn't work for me. Like, so I didn't stay with that person, and then it just got so strenuous for me that I was like, you know, I gotta just stop. You know, I just got to stop doing this right now.
So what triggered all of this?
Like, I can't even say it was one thing, Mark. I can't say it was one thing. It was just the accumulation of everything. And I had kept it all deep inside of me, and it just came out of nowhere. I don't even know what the trigger was.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to give you said you tried therapy once, but, like, sometimes not all therapists are created equal. And, you know, maybe you were a lot younger back then. And partly didn't realize that maybe you could have tried another one. You know how, like, people go to doctor's and get a second opinion from the first one? And you know, that could have been just, like, if you were just held on just a little bit more. Because, I'm big on therapy. Like, I know, like, mental health is, like, the new black right now. Everybody's talking about anxiety, depression, because we're in a digital age where people could look at Instagram and feel like, my life sucks because look at this person, look at what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of depression stems from. And they say that depression is dealing with the past. Anxiety is dealing with the future. So when you were having all these things accumulating in your head, was it a bit of both, or was it just depression, or was it anxiety alone, or was it a combination of the two?
It was a combination. Like, I lived in my own apartment, so that means that, you know, even though I was making a lot of money, it was going towards, like, food and things like that. Like, I had a big screen TV, so I made it, like, you know, I'm just watching my big screen TV, but it was actually depression. And then being around a lot of people, like, I'm a real sensitive person, so, like, I feel people's energy very easily.
Yeah, that's me.
You know what I mean? So I just felt like I had to kind of take on the world myself. So, and then I have this, like, bullshit radar. So when I was at the therapist, like, I could see right through it. Like, and if I'm going to see right through you,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I can't let you be my therapist if I could be your therapist. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, some therapists need therapy.
Right, right. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And this particular person, you know, you can see that they weren't in it for the right reasons, you know? So that turned me off. Like, yeah. that turned me off. And that's why I didn't go back and give it a second chance or anything like that.
Gotcha.
So because of that reason, and I didn't know what to do, you know, I ended up losing everything, you know, my job, you know, my apartment, beautiful girl I was dating at the time. And I lost respect for my uncle and, you know, family members as well, because, you know, they had seen me go from Gary, Indiana to being an EMT. And that was a big thing, even though that may not be a big thing to a lot of people, but for our family, like, that's big, big, big. So, you know, that just kind of, you know, it put me into a deeper depression. Right. And I ended up losing everything. So that means I had no money. So, you know, I couldn't stay with my uncle any longer. And at that time, I actually went back to Gary. I went back to spend time with my mom. And I just waited on my tax refund to come in February so I can go ahead and come to Florida, come to San Diego.
Mm. So now let's talk about the West Coast.
Let's do it. That's where we at.
The transition. And I always ask people these stuff like this. I asked Walter about this. Now I'm asking you, because you're from, you know, you guys are basically from the same city. What were your first impression when you came here to California? Because I know San Diego and LA are two totally different cities.
First impression?
Yeah, your first impression.
Sounded like you said oppression. I'm like, wait.
I'm oh, sorry.
I'm a free man.
Let me enunciate my words. Your first impression. If I said oppression, I apologize. On second thought, no, fuck y'all.
Yeah. So when I first came here to San Diego, I saw my aunt, like, and you see her smiling, like, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to make her not smile anymore. So I just went over, gave her a big hug, you know what I mean? Like, I hadn't seen her in so long, like, and we didn't really have a relationship. So seeing my aunt, you know, come and pick me up and everything and, you know, give me a big hug, like, it was warm welcomed, you know? I came at nighttime, so we ended up leaving, and then, yeah, like, in San Diego, like, you gotta think, man, I wasn't in the best, like, mind space, you know, even though, you know, while I was in Gary and things like that, like, I was reading, like, you know, self-help books, and right before I left Houston, I was reading, like, spiritual books and things like that, trying to figure out what the meaning of life was, but I still had some stuff inside of me that was just deep and dark and dirty and ugly that I had never really dealt with before, so I was out here really not knowing which way was left, which way was right, what was up and what was down, and I know that while I was staying with, you know, your mom and uncle while I was staying there, I didn't really know what to do. You know, I didn't really know what to do. I just knew that I was coming to L.A. to pursue acting. And my first stop was going to be in San Diego. Because while I was reading those other books, I was reading different acting books and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I came here for about 6 months, maybe 7 months or something like that. And I stayed here and ended up leaving here and going to L.A. on a Greyhound. And my first impression of L.A. was, you know, damn. It's a lot of homeless people out here.
Especially if you took the Greyhound.
Yeah. That's the first thing you're going to see.
Yeah.
You see this? You see these old motherfuckers out here? That's where dreams die.
It was zombie town. It was zombie town. But I still had my mind made up, though. I still had my mind made up. Like, I'm going to make sure that I get this done. I'm going to make sure that I be the best that I could be, and I go back home, and I take care of the family. Like, that was on my mind big time. But I still had all that deep, dark stuff in my mind. So I ended up living in a homeless shelter on Skid Row.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was over there.
I've been through it. You know what I mean? And all these things are in the book for those who want to know. So I lived in one of them. One of them was pretty cool. Like, the first one that I lived in actually was, like, crazy. Like, they had, like, I don't know, 100 bunkers on one floor with, like, a whole bunch of homeless people. And you didn't even know what they was going to do to each other, to you or whatever. Like, you just, you know, you was just there. And they had like a TV room where people just sit like vegetables, you know what I mean? You talk to some people who was like millionaires before they became homeless and things like that and, you know, ended up doing drugs. You would walk outside and see like everybody selling all types of things like clothing, cigarettes, like women who women who look like they just like climbed their ways out of the grave was out there selling their body. It was bananas. It was stupid, but now.
I mean, he knows about it. He,
what do you mean he knows about it?
No, easy living in L.A.
I know about it.
Easy living in L.A. for a minute.
It was bananas, man. It was bananas, man. So
I see what you tried to did there.
Yeah. You going to let that one slide?
He was like, nah, I ain't no John. What the fuck I look like?
We going to let that one slide?
Shoot, there's a story where I caught the Greyhound because I used to catch the Greyhound back and forth from San Diego to L.A. to see family and stuff, whether I was living here or there. But I was living here, catch the Greyhound in L.A. It was late at night. I was walking from the Greyhound station to, like, towards downtown area, like Hill Street, to catch the bus.
I know what you're
talking
about.
So, you know, I'm walking past Skid Row and all that.
100%. That's Skid Row.
And this motherfucker's driving by thinking that I'm one of them girls walking.
What?
I never told y'all the story.
No,
that's bad business.
What? Okay, so I don't look like I didn't look like I climbed out the fucking grave, but you know I had my backpack on and shit, just walking.
The backpack gave it away,
nigga. I don't know. All I know is I was gonna square up with somebody if they kept fucking circling,
because
it was a few of the same cars that kept circling. It was this Mexican dude in his truck, this little old pickup. He kept circling. It was this dude in a Ford Taurus. Bruh, look. He looked like he I bet you he go to church. Wow. And he's a part of like the
oh shit. He could have been.
He's playing church music.
Wow. He was trying to save you.
Slowing up, trying to pick me up and shit. And
he was playing Kurt Franklin.
This other weirdo cat that was in a PT Cruiser and shit. I remember these cars, nigga, because I was ready to square like I took my backpack off, like, what's happening, dude? I just told you, man. Ain't nobody with that shit.
He squared up with
you
him.
That weirdo shit. He squared up off with him. Dude squared off. But he was the only one that was, like, persistent. It was the weirdo cat in the PT Cruiser.
That is a weirdo but, car.
Yeah.
If you drive a PT Cruiser, but like you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, the first car. So the first car was the truck. Dude kind of was like, hey man, you working or something? Like, nah. Hey. And he just drove off.
What you say, like, what, working at the pyramids tonight, nigga? What the fuck? Nigga, do I look like Frank Ocean to you?
Man, yeah. Nah.
Let me see your money. How much money you got on you?
Robin.
Give me the money first.
Depends.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was working.
Take this money, you ain't get shit. But next one was the preacher dude. I swear he must have been like in a church or something. Doing like on this funny shit at night,
right?
Like
living playing that duplicitous lifestyle,
playing church music loud. That's like driving around looking.
That's so weird. Looking,
come back around
playing
looking,
Yolanda Adams or some shit.
I was like, nope. Keep moving, bro. Keep moving. Mm-mm. Enjoy the walk.
Well, you seeking salvation, my brother?
Yeah.
Hell no. Hell no.
I'm hosting a prayer a prayer session at my house.
Right.
In my bedroom.
Get the
yeah,
fuck
but
out
just,
of
just
here.
Walking from that from the Greyhound all the way to the towards the downtown area, that's what I dealt with those motherfuckers. I was like, dude, this is crazy.
I saw this heroin addict, man, like literally like doing the next dance. Like he was just bobbing up and down for literally like 5 minutes straight. Like I'm just 5 minutes away, just waiting on this guy to do something different. But he's just like bobbing up and down, and he's just like bobbing up and down. I'm like, okay, I like that dance move, but let me keep it pushing.
Right.
Let me keep it pushing.
Yeah, and then, I feel like you be power walking extra fast.
Yeah.
You ain't listen to no music, no nothing. You need to hear everything.
Off,
you
need earphones hear off, all that shit.
You need to hear everything.
I gotta
everything.
Be focused.
Yeah. Keep your head on a motherfucking swivel. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Right. I seen two damn. People fighting each other with broomsticks, man. That shit was bananas, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's Skid Row for you.
Uh-huh. But all in all, man, why should people buy this book?
Yeah, because it goes through this. It goes through this realness that I went through. And then it also lets people know, like, the mind is so powerful. Like, the mind is really powerful. So because I had all of this negativity inside my mind, like, it drew everything towards me. And because I was just eliminating all these different things from my mind, like, a lot of positivity started coming towards me. So I ended up being a meditation instructor. And this meditation in itself is one that just have you reflect on your life from childhood to present, from childhood to present, over and over and over again, and just let it go and discard it, just let it go and discard it. So I was able to see, like, where I did this wrong, where I did this right. And because I was able to reflect so many times, I can see from my perspective, from the other person's perspective. Then I go back again, I see, like, how I had some other type of perspective deep up under that other perspective that I had. So it was real deep in that sense. And then it get into the subconscious, like, as I'm going and letting go of all these things, you can see, like, different other things from the subconscious actually come up and be released and things like that.
Yeah. How did that come out? Because that's one of my hardest things. Like, I so bad want to meditate, and I just always have, like, 1,000, like, thoughts per minute. Like, doesn't matter if I'm awake or I'm asleep. So that's, like, I always ask people that say that they meditate, like, how do you meditate? Because I know everybody meditates differently, and I try to see if I can take bits and pieces of the way people do it and try to see if it works for me, and it hasn't.
So yet, this particular method, you know, I actually introduced it to my cousin, but this particular method just has you just reflect on yourself and let it go through this this powerful, you know, whatever it is. But excuse me, you just got to do it. Right. No matter how many thoughts you have come through your mind, like, you have to go, you have to sit there, and then you have to just let those thoughts come up eventually. And then you have to do your best to not latch on to any of those thoughts, which is much more challenging than what it sounds to me just saying it right here, right now.
Definitely challenging.
Because it just takes you on a roller coaster ride. Your mind does. And you realize, like, I have thoughts that I didn't even know I had inside of my mind as you sitting there, you know. And you're like, okay, where did that thought come from? Okay, let me think about that. Okay, what do I got to do for work? Oh, man, I got to get back to meditating. Oh, now I got to think how I'll meditate. You have all these different thoughts that just come randomly, but you just let them come up, and you don't hold on to any of them. And then eventually you'll find yourself, like, in a space where you can just, you know, let things just be, you know?
So
is that, go ahead. Is that what you still practice today?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And it's become my life now. You know, because I practiced for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So to be able to just let things come up, and because with this particular meditation, like, they also have something called action meditation, because everybody got to live in the real world. So if we all are out here doing this right here, we got to come across people, and something's going to come up. Like, when something physically comes up to you, you have to be able to let that go as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a journey on letting things come up in your mind and go away, to letting things come up in your actual life and then go away.
That's what's up, man. And yeah, man, just give people your social handles, where they can find the book, and then we'll go to shout out some parting words, man.
All right, one last thing. I mean, that's why I wrote the book, Balancing Dark with Light, is because, you know, I went through all those different things, and now I've been able to write a book. Like, I've been out here talking crazy and everything, but I'm nothing like that right now. Like, I'm not out here banging all type of chicks or whatever. Like, that was just all in good fun. But at the end of the day, I just really want everybody to, it's also in the book, to, I think, to be able to make the world a better place, I think everybody have to go through their own trauma, their own karma, and they have to release that. And one by one, each one of us will be able to actually make the world a better place by dealing with our own crap, our own shit. And that's what it boils down to. Like, I've even volunteered with something you said, like, mental illness. Like, that's something that I'm trying to take on right now myself. And the couple stand-up comedy bits I did was about mental illness and things like that. But you can find me on Facebook at Ant Von. That's A-N-T space V-O-N. You can find me on Twitter at Ant Von 3, all one word, A-N-T V-O-N 3. And then on Instagram, you can find me at A-N-T dot V-O-N dot 50.
Damn, they took all the different versions of it, huh? Mm-hmm. That's how you had to do different numbers.
I need that. I need to change.
So when you get famous, I'm a successful person. You can come at that person's Twitter handle like, look, how much? Because I need all my shit to be easy.
Exactly.
Easily searchable.
Easily linked up. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so 100%. I feel on that. So you gotta get up on it, man. Okay. You gotta get up on it. I'm glad that you took my advice. You got an Instagram.
I wouldn't have had an Instagram if it wasn't for my cousin.
You promoting yourself, you know what I mean? Now, you know, you fairly look like you just gotta tone up a little bit. You already got the slim frame, just tone up a little bit.
I got you.
Do a little photo shoot, you know, wear something nice and clean. And you know, get your Arthur look going on. You know what I mean? Get your.
I got it.
This fool said,
"Tone up a little bit."
Tone up a little.
For the record,
I'm fat right now.
I ran 3 miles today. For the record,
so, no, yeah. Thank you.
You can come if you want to.
No, thank you.
I wouldn't mind. No. It was a beautiful lake. It was ducks quacking and everything.
Where is he at?
I'm saying it as if I was his agent or his manager or something. Right, you know what I mean? I'm just giving him the advice.
Right, right, right.
The vision I see that he
you know,
it could
you just tighten that up a little bit.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know, women can't resist chocolate. You know what I'm saying? He already got the complexion for it. You know, it's all good.
You know, they also can't resist what is that caramel?
I never been caramel. Considered caramel in my life.
Nah, that's me.
Respect.
Yeah, man. We'll go into the shout outs and parting words. I apologize, folks. This was just a more of an in-depth interview. I thought that my cousin had a really good story that he wanted to share. And next week we'll get back to our regularly.
It starts with an R.
Yeah, it starts with an R.
Yeah, there you go.
Ends with a Y.
Usually I'm the one right that now. Needs to be checked.
Regularly, scheduled planning. And we'll get the Nothing Is Safe popping. We'll get the NSA popping again. And we'll be back to our crazy, zany selves. But I think this is a good episode as far as, you know, showing people that we could go there.
And for the family members and the church members that's going to be listening to this, I'm sorry, y'all.
If they read
your book, this ain't nothing.
I'm sorry, too.
In your book.
Nada.
Yeah,
nah,
I'm sorry, Bible. Too.
I just...
They read the Bible. The Bible has, like, all kinds of crazy shit going on.
All type of crazy
there.
Shit.
And they also met people like the dude that was circling the block trying to get me.
In fact, and don't judge, because Jesus hang out with the sinners, the killers, and
the
whores.
Yeah, that's who he hung out with. Yep.
100%.
That's who he hung out with.
100%. So don't listen the realest. To my podcast trying to judge.
They're as real as it get. I'm just doing that for my auntie, actually.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, man? I had a conversation with my pops recently, right? I said one thing to him. I was like, man, I feel like, you know, a lot of things I'm doing is not for myself. It seems like I'm doing it for other people. He's like, you know who else did that, son? I'm like, who? Jesus. I'm like, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you later.
Man, that's funny, man. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and shout out some party words. Easy or... That's sometimes you guys are interchangeable. Like
nah, she's always like
you guys
nah,
are interchangeable. He go. Multiple and division when it comes to order of operations.
Right, I know, right. Shout out to Dashe, my lady.
Big time DJ out here.
She just
doing dope events.
Is that right?
Yeah, she just had a. I want to say an intimate session with Shotty and the band.
You're not trying to hear what y'all do at home.
No. Nah,
Sunday?
Yes, this past Sunday they had something. An event.
Shout out to Dashe.
Shout out to Dashe. I never met you. I hope you don't want to punch me right now. I met her.
Yeah, if you played Mortal Kombat, she was Shang Tsung, she was beating everybody.
Okay, yeah.
She definitely beat me. That was like 2012, 2011.
Okay.
I think like, I was in LA.
You was in LA at that time.
Yeah. I knew your girl before you knew your girl.
I knew her before I went back to LA. I knew her since what? 2008?
I knew her since Mortal Kombat though.
Hey. Me and her went back and forth, Dance Dance Revolution and all that other shit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's it for the shout outs. You got some more?
Shout out to me, man.
Yeah. Okay.
My birthday this week.
Okay. Why not?
You know, it's my birthday this week.
Gun salute.
As you should.
You wouldn't be here. Out here.
If it wasn't for you.
Shout out to my people.
Man, what you gonna do, man? What are you gonna do for your birthday?
Talk to us.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Talk to us. My birthday passed. It was in August.
Man,
it's on you.
I don't have no plans, but shout out to Alex, my family. He was like, we going to the Omnia on Friday. So okay. The 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, so far that's what I'm doing for my birthday.
Omnia.
Yeah, the Omnia.
Y'all gonna get fucked up.
Yeah, he's talking about some of his free drinks. So
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
So we gonna see what happens.
We old. We don't party like we used to.
I know, right?
He's like, nigga, I'm tired. Nigga, it's 10:30. Nigga, I'm done. I'm going home.
That's right. Gonna be me.
Right.
I'll be leaning against the wall, falling asleep. Right. Like, yeah, it's time to go home.
Tell my wife to come pick me up, man. Right.
Now, but shout out to my people. They about to get married. The homie Broderick and Sade. They from Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Vegas now, but they get married the day after my birthday, which is Sunday.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
I won't be able to make it because I'm, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the time off from work. But I wish y'all the best and y'all unity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying for y'all constantly. Mm-hmm. So shout out to y'all.
Shout outs. About you, Miss Nessa.
Keeping it on the Virgo train. Shout out to my sis, Princess. Her birthday was on Saturday. So happy
What's
birthday
up, sis?
To her. Happy birthday, early birthday to you and Meezy. Yep. Shout out to you for you and Alex for getting y'all little spots.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to y'all for that. I swear I had another one, but I can't.
It'll come up
right off the top of my head.
Yeah, shout out to that person who you can't think of right now.
Right.
You know who you are. It's you. Yeah, it's definitely you.
Shout out to you. That book sounds interesting. I low-key want to actually read. I like to read, but I need to sit down and actually read. Like, I have a bunch of books that I start but never finish.
Collecting dust.
You plan to do an audiobook version of it?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, my cousin put me on that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, gravitate towards the audiobook version.
Yeah, because some people, because I personally love reading. Like, I love the feel of books in my head, but some people.
They're on the go.
Yeah, they're on the go.
They
so,
in
like,
traffic.
To cater to both.
I'm telling you.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
you might want to dive into it.
It's going to get done.
Yeah, I won't
it's
necessarily
get done
run
at the right
miles,
time.
But I'll walk a cool 3 miles listening to the book.
Yeah, know what I'm saying? So we got to put that out there for you.
Walk that
we
out
put
real
that
quick.
Out there for you on your walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you have
that
it.
That helps the mental. So
I'm learning. I'm learning a lot of stuff, man. I learned so much by, you know, self-publishing and things like that. And this new entrepreneurial spirit and everything is definitely teaching me a whole bunch. And, you know, I'm ready for the challenge. I'm ready for the challenge. Thanks for the shout out, too. If you read the book, you're not going to want to put it down, though. Yeah, it's going to hold your attention the whole time, for sure.
I believe it. And it's like that with lots of books. It's just the way my managing my time is set up is that's my issue. So.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, it's gonna punch you in the heart until you feel like you're alive.
All right. You know. We'll see. You know what I'm saying?
We'll
read
we'll
it.
See.
We'll see. No, I'm just saying.
Know,
we'll just see. Like, because, you know, some.
You don't know. You don't know until you know.
Don't know until you know. So that's what I'm just being fair.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and for the record, while he's over there talking, like, I sent him the manuscript, like, 2 weeks ago, and he still ain't read it.
You
his,
didn't?
His mom.
2 weeks ago.
I'm putting him on the spot now. Yeah.
Okay.
His mom.
nothing is safe.
his mom gave her.
Wait, say
physical
it to the
copy.
Mic. So wait,
yeah, his mom gave him the physical copy, and he still ain't read it. So he would have known.
I read a little bit about it.
He would have known. He would have known how good it was if he would have had read it.
You read the back, huh?
the
little clips notes. You know what I mean? Hey man, I
know he busy.
If it was audio, he would have listened to it.
See,
right
yeah, exactly.
Though.
If it was audiobook, I would have went through it.
Driving.
Yeah,
I would have went through it.
Driving. I would have been at work with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It would have been done.
Through it.
I would have ran
like
through
water.
It.
Water.
Hey,
easy.
You
like
you damn near
that,
40.
That audiobook, if you put condensed in the audiobook, it would probably be 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
3 hours.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe even two.
That's too long. You can read this book in about an hour and a half.
No. You can listen about an hour and a half, 2 hours and a half. But it depends on the speed reading. If you like Stephen Hawking, who could read like mad words real quick, go right through it. Or like your Meteor Man, you can just tap
know.
The book.
All I'm saying,
comprehend it.
Is try to read the book.
No,
and you'll
don't
get
tell
to
him
it.
To try. Tell him
tell
to do
him
it.
Do
like
it.
Read the book.
It,
read the book.
Read the book.
Put it out there.
There you go.
And you'll enjoy it.
You will enjoy it. Like all I'm.
Okay, the reason I said try to read the book is because once you get started, once you get through like the first couple of chapters, then you're gonna be like, okay, it's something here. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just giving y'all like that little teaser. Like, try to read the book for the first three chapters, and then you're not gonna be able to put it down.
All right.
Like, well, as a matter of fact, if you get the book, turn to any page in the book and read that page.
Let me see.
Okay. But all right, man, we're running on the tight schedule. I'll do my shout out, then I'll let my cousin finish it off. My shout out, I will give a shout out to my motherfucking Raiders. You goddamn right, you motherfucking Raiders. They've been through some bullshit throughout the whole fucking beginning of the season. They got played by Antonio Brown. But guess what, Antonio Brown? You're facing a fucking lawsuit of sexual assault. So there you go, motherfucker. Enjoy all that. All
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still salty. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that matches up. Like,
if New England is like, look, shots. If New England don't want to fuck with him because of that shit, then guess what? There goes your guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker. But anyway,
hey, we might be big one day, and you know, you might come across Antonio Brown, brother.
Okay, hey, it ain't nothing.
I like it. I love it.
In the words of Michael Bennett from your Chicago Bears, all pro receivers can get knocked out too.
Yeah, it is.
Oh snap!
Hey, we in here.
Spicy.
This is as good as it gets.
But anyway, no, I like how they acquiesced. They played Denver. They had a great game.
Yeah.
They won. They got the W, and that's all that matters. They're showing very, very mental toughness. You know what I mean? So give a shout out to my Raiders for that.
I think,
man,
they felt like they had a chip on their shoulder.
Oh yeah, because definitely. Of AB. Yeah, definitely. They're like, man, fuck him.
You don't need that, dude.
And did you hear the fans? Did you hear the chants?
Nah, what they were saying?
Oh, they were saying, fuck AB. You could hear it on Monday Night Football. Like, when they were going for the extra point, you could hear, fuck AB, fuck AB, fuck AB. Like, hey. The people of the Monday Night Football had to censor that shit.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, homie, it was loud at the Coliseum. They ain't fucking around, boy.
This is the first experience I ever had with a real Raiders fan right now, so I'm enjoying every moment of it.
And the thing is like, the man has burned bridges from two rabid fan bases. You pissed off Steeler fans,
yeah,
and you pissed off Raider fans.
Yeah.
Ish. Yep. Ish.
Those are like two sets of fans you don't want to piss off, though, right?
Nah. Don't.
And he did it.
Because these fans spread across the U.S., both teams.
Yep.
Not just in their cities.
Burning bridges.
I'll just say keep eating clam chowders out there in New England.
That's stupid.
That's bananas.
Anyway,
stay
man.
Stay close.
I'm going to let Anthony go ahead and finish off. What's your shout-outs and parting words? What do you got to say to the people or the shout-outs you want to give out?
I just want to say thank you to, I want to shout out everybody who purchased the book. Everybody who purchased the book right now and everybody who's going to purchase the book later. Like, it's something that I wrote to touch people's hearts for real and to really do some type of healing inside of people. So I want to shout out to, you know, I just want to shout out to y'all. Like, without y'all, like, I wouldn't have been able to write this book because I would have just been writing it for myself. I want to shout out for all the challenges that I had in my life, my stepfather, my moms, my brothers, my sisters, everybody who I came across, the one guy who I had a fight with and punched him and, you know, broke his face. Damn. But
well, damn.
I want to thank everybody in every situation is my point. Because without y'all, without any of y'all, like, I wouldn't be here where I'm at. I want to thank y'all over here at the Jig Is Up for allowing me to come and, you know, share this with y'all audience, you know. I really appreciate that. I want to thank my cousin, you know. I want to thank my family. Like, I just, you know, I'm just full of gratefulness. Like, I'm just full of gratefulness at this point in my life. So, thank y'all all.
Now, listen. That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
All right, man. Well, if you enjoy listening to this podcast as much as we love making it, because we do what we love and love what we do, and if you're not being your motherfucking self, you know what I gotta say.
The jig is up.
And we out. Blip! Subscribe to the show.